Okay, good morning. We continue with our Sha'arim B'Tfilah, 10 minutes of inspiration for davening. We last left off last week in the subject of Rina. We've been studying the idea of connecting to Hashem in this way. Again, Sha'arim B'Tfilah, Rav Pinkus develops the 13 synonyms for prayer. Each one is a nuanced, different way. Prayer you can't describe as one generic term, but each one is a different way to relate to Hashem. So last week he developed the difference between Shira and Zimra. We use those terms interchangeably, but each one means something different. And we discussed that Shira and Zimra are the exact corollary, the opposites of Shava and Saka. That just like Shava and Saka represent, Shava is reaching out to Hashem, but using words, it's though with tremendous sense of desperation, but using words, whereas Tzaka is crying out, screaming out to Hashem with a moan, a groan, a krechs, a sigh. You can't even capture how you feel in words, you're just desperate for Hashem. So the corollary, or the exact opposite, the mirror opposites, are Zimra and Shira. Shira is singing the praise of Hashem, one feels a sense of joy, closeness, happiness, fulfillment with words. And Zimra is, we feel a sense of being uplifted and beyond words. You don't want to be distracted or limited or confined by the words, but rather one is lost in the niggun, one is lost in the tune itself. And Rav Pinkus described that in Tehillim, sometimes we have Shir Mizmor Levnei Korach, sometimes Shir morphs into into Mizmor, and sometimes it says Mizmor Shir, sometimes Zemer morphs into Shir. So that's where we are, the bottom paragraph on page Samach Vav, page 66. Hinei bishlam amadich siv shir mizmor, sholech minakala lakaved, shemascha b'shiro mikoach is amkuso aud v'aud nechnas l'pnimius. I understand, says Rav Pinkus, that you start out singing a song with words, you start out singing a tune that has words to it, and then you get so lost, you're so uplifted, you feel so connected, you feel so spiritual, that you continue by singing a niggun, a tune with no words. The tune with no words, again, he assumes, is the higher level. The tune with no words, you don't need the words to lift you. You don't need the poetry, the poem, the prose of the words. The tune itself carries you. You're lost in the tune. So I understand when you say Shir Mizmor, a Shir with words turns into a Mizmor. Lisrakshus hanorash el azimra. Avamadach siv Mizmor Shir, mitmatchila zmira v'achakach shira mayrabusei. But what does it mean when you start with a niggun, when you start being lost in a tune, and you're feeling the highest level of joy, of happiness, of connectivity, and then all of a sudden that morphs into now you need to use words? Hari malam b'kodesh v'ein moridin. Normally we ascend, we don't descend. So it seems to be the higher level is the niggun. Aval be'emes eino chanami, shevada yesh malam yechedes b'nina mizmor, shuba mikoach esrakshus amuka v'espalas gedola, aval me'idach yesh bo gan tzar chisaron v'af sakana. True, having a tune without words is the higher level, but it also has a deficiency. Sometimes you're so lost in a niggun, you're so lost in a tune, it carries you so high, that when you come down from that high, samach vav, when you come down from that high, you cannot apply it. You cannot express it. You cannot carry it with you back into the regular world. And they remain an internal, concealed experience that aren't transformed, that don't transmit themselves into the world of action. So you have a momentary joy. You're at a Shalom Zachar, Simchas Torah. You're at a Simcha, the band's playing a tune. You're somewhere where there's a niggun with no words, and you're lost, you're carried, you're lifted by it. But then that moment is over, and it's time to go to work. Time to go to sleep, it's time to go to the supermarket, it's time to go back to the real world, and you're totally disconnected from that experience. So sometimes it's better to say Mizmor Shir, to go from that experience into a song with words, where the words resonate, where you can meditate on the words, where the words communicate a message that you can carry together with you into your everyday. Generally, we're at the very end of the parak of Rina. This has been a long parak. I don't know if we're going to get to the very end today, but we'll try. In general, there are two approaches to life. You have to understand the broad categories. There's a broad philosophy and ideology. There's a big picture way of looking at something. And then there are the details. If all you embrace is the big picture and you leave out the details, you don't really have in practice what you're preaching or what you are subscribing to. If you're consumed by the details and you forget the big picture, then you are an obsessive compulsive person who is caught by the details and never is moved or transformed by the big picture. So Yahadus, he says, serving Hashem requires both. Nichnas Adam lebeis haKnesses veOmer Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Bekavan Atzum, a person goes to shul and they say Shema, there's one God, a unity to God's existence, with great concentration. Bebas Achas Himlechas Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hashivas Harakiyim Haaretz Arba Ruchos Hashemayim. At that moment, you coronate God as the King of the seven heavens, the earth, and the four directions. So you're done. What could you possibly add to Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? You come to shul and you meditate and you pause. Let's say, for example, hypothetically, you're not rushing, and you actually can pause for a moment and say, Hashem Elokeinu, God is my God, our God. Hashem, the Adon Hakol, HaYehovah V'yeh, the master of all who was, who is, and will be, is Echad. He's the source of everything. Everything fits into one unified theory of existence. Everything emanates from Hashem. All that exists is from Hashem. All that will exist, all that will unfold and occur to me individually and us collectively, it's all from Hashem. What could you add to that? That's the big picture. What could possibly be added? What's the point, he says, of saying, B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol modecha, himshich prati aparshios, v'ispartin l'ramach, you've already accepted everything. What are you going to add now? The first paragraph is Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. Second paragraph is Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos. Today's Daf Yomi. For those who learn the Daf, you're allowed to perhaps hint in the second paragraph. You can't hint in the first paragraph. Tells the story of Tana who hinted in the second paragraph. It's Ol Mitzvos as opposed to Ol Malchus Shemayim. But what could you possibly add? You've already accepted God's providence with a willingness to sacrifice your life. What more can you say? What more can you pledge than your willingness b'chol nafshecha, all your life? You say in Shmona Esrei, Kone Akol, he owns everything. Everything is God's. So what are you going to continue now? Das, tshuva, geula, refua, parnasa. You're going to go through the rest of Shmona Esrei. You've already enumerated. You've already said God is the source of all. But he says clearly that's not the case. You have a seed of a fruit. You take the seed of an apple, of an orange. Within that seed of the fruit is the potential for the entire tree. You put that in the ground, in the soil. You water it, you nourish it, nurture it. It can grow into an entire tree. This huge, huge, high, wide tree that will produce more fruit of its own. Where did it come from? It was all contained within that tiny, little, barely visible seed. Gizo, Sherashav, Anafav, Alav. It's bark, its root, its leaves. Uperosav, Uperos, Perosav, Atsov, Kolodoros. And the capacity to plant and create more and more trees, forests. Nimsa, Akones, Agarin, Kanabez, Akinyan, Atsum. So the one who owns that seed has an incredible possession in his hands because they have the capacity. There's an entire forest. You're holding a tiny little seed. In that little seed is a vast forest of acres and acres and acres. All in that little seed. If you put it in the ground, the potential. But if it sits as a seed on your desk, forget being a forest that's acres wide. It's garnished. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. All you have is the seed. And if you think you're going to eat, so you say, well, within the seed are thousands of barrels or bushels or however you measure fruit. But within the seed are tons and tons of fruit. So I'm going to eat the seed and I'll feel full. You're a moron. That was uncivil. That you're unintelligent. You're unintelligent. Uninformed. You're going to die. What?
Uninformed.
You're uninformed. You're ignorant. Is that civil? Ignorant? You're ignorant because you're going to die of starvation. You eat that little seed. Yes, it has the potential for tons and tons and tons of fruit, but you're going to die of starvation. So when all we do is embrace broad categories, when all we do is pledge to large ideologies, it's the same thing. You've acquired the potential, you've acquired something that's rich and pregnant with meaning and everything. But you still have to go and grind and dissect and extract all the details. So you have to take and extract from the broad category. I love God. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time someone said to me, I love God and I worship Him in my own way. I talk to Hashem, but not through your davening in the Siddur. I talk to Him in my own way. Really? When's the last time you talked to Him? What'd you say when you talk in your own way? How often do you have that conversation? How long does it last? How does it go? How many other things are you doing while you're having it? All that's important is being a good person. That's what God wants from us after all. And that's all that matters. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard these things. And they're wonderful in theory. But the bottom line is that yes, of course, God wants us to be a good person. Derech Eretz Kadma Torah. Of course, we're supposed to add our own way of davening to the format of davening that we have. Of course, yeah, in broad strokes, these large ideologies are true and we must subscribe to them. But unless we have the details, they remain like the seed sitting on our countertop or our desk that is just filled with potential, but without the details, there's no expression of it into reality. So that's Yahadus. Yahadus has broad ideologies and values. There's no question about it. The relationship with Hashem, the relationship with others, the relationship with ourselves, being a good person, a kind person, a caring person, a righteous person, a just person. But it's through the details of halacha, it's through the details that those ideologies and values find expression in reality. If I want to eat the fruit, I got to plant the seed. Yes, the seed has the potential. It's pregnant with future. But if I don't plant it and nurture it and nourish it and grow those fruit, I'm going to starve to death. So similarly, I have those ideologies. If I don't plant them and nurture them and take care of them through the world of action and detail, then they're going to remain a world purely of potential alone. Let's just end this. And that's what he says is the value you take from the niggun without words, which carries you and lifts you. It represents the broad idea. And then you put it into words, into detail, through the shira, through song. And we'll end his haggah here, his little editorial footnote on the bottom, is Rav Pinkas Zatzal's bemoaning what's become of Jewish music today. It resonates a lot with me. He says, once upon a time, the niggun Jewish music was actually something that carried you spiritually. Reb Shlomo's tunes preceded, there was actually music before Reb Shlomo also, most of it not that good, but there was some music before Reb Shlomo also. And those tunes carry us. I mean, you think about the tunes of the Yom Noraim, the Shalosh Regalim, you think about Nusach, you get lost in it, it carries you, it has deep meaning, it lifts you, it connects you. Today, Jewish music, techno-Jewish music that imitates the pop culture of the time, the secular music of the time, so he bemoans that we've lost that flavor of what is uniquely a Jewish niggun, what's uniquely a Jewish music. There are exceptions in Eitan Katz, the Shlomo Katz of the world. You still have those people who are giving us those tunes that carry us. But most of it is just trying to compete with the beat and with the techno and the club that the rest of the world of the music. So you could read his editorial footnote on your own, but he bemoans that because he says we've lost what the capacity for a niggun was intended to do, and namely for it to carry. So with that, we conclude the section on Rina. Please God, next week we'll continue with Pigiyah.